When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hey, guys. Happy start of the week to you. Thanks for listening to the show out there. I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the ads that start our show. You know, you want it to just start. I know. It's frustrating. But it's what you got to do so that a podcast is free. And thank you to iHeart for making it free and for selling those ads. So support our advertisers if you can. If something strikes your fancy, that's what advertising's for. Noah, how you doing? Happy like 6th week of the show. I've lost track now, even though I should still be. When people go episode 20, I'm like, whoa, we've done that many.
Yeah, I just think it's fun to say we turned 21.
Oh, that is cool. We got to get wasted. And we have to do 21 podcasts in one day.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that on your 21st birthday, 21 shots, and then you die?
If I did, I don't remember.
That wasn't a thing, though. In college, that was a thing. That was like, you got to do 21 shots. And I always made the joke, you're turning 25? Oh, you got to rent 25 rental cars tonight as an adult because that's the only thing you get when you turn 25. That's the last like thing you get. Then you can be president when you're 35 and then you can get Social Security when you're what? Oh, never, because there's none of that left.
Oh.
Don't worry about it, kids listening. Noah, how was your weekend?
It was great, but I was telling you before the show, I'm just so exhausted from socializing.
I know. I said, save it for the show. I want to hear about this. Yeah. I mean,
and I don't just mean like in person or whatever. It's just like, you know, my fiance's dad was here. All the birthday texts.
Say no more. Fiance's dad is maybe the two worst words I've ever heard together. Fiance's dad. And he came in for your birthday. I give you so much shit. I'm like, literally for my birthday, I'm going to dinner with my fiance and my fiance's dad. Fiance's dad needs to be the name of a band. Or a sketch troupe, probably a UCB sketch troupe. Okay, but your fiance's dad is cool, right? What's his name? Rick?
Steve.
Steve? I almost said Steve. Okay, fiance's dad, Steve. And you guys had a good birthday, like din?
Yeah, we had a great birthday din. There was like a PFL match on the TV screen at the restaurant, which is a martial arts company. And he was into it, so we got to watch the big UFC fight on Saturday.
Oh yeah, and you love that.
I do.
And we a woman that we know, Rose Namajunas.
Namajunas.
Sorry, I mixed up different sounds at the end of her name. That sound the same to me because I'm an ignorant American. Rose
Namajunas.
Namajunas. Yeah, I remember having to memorize her name because she came on our show. She was so nice on You Up.
Yeah.
I follow her on Instagram and clearly only read 3/4 of her name every time her name comes up.
You could just call her Thug Rose. That's her nickname.
Thug Rose. Okay, so Thug Rose, I saw that Joe Rogan cried when she won. She made him cry on her victory speech. Is that it?
Yeah. She always says such... like awesome things. I just love her mentality.
What'd she say that you wrote on your story?
So, for her, she's not just like a fighter who's about the physicality of it. She's also about the mental strength aspect. And Joe Rogan, he's like, oh, you, first of all, she was crying because she had a very quick knockout. And he's like, oh, I saw before the match started, you were saying I'm the best to yourself. And she's so cute. She just goes, I am the best. And then she like giggles.
Oh my God. Adorable.
You know what I learned about her this weekend that I think you might really appreciate?
I liked everything about her. She shaved her head too. I want everyone to know right now.
This is what I learned.
This girl, she shaved her head as a heterosexual woman. She shaved her head and like dates like a really hot guy because it was getting pulled out in matches.
She shaved her head because she was having a huge match with Paige VanZant, who's also a stunningly beautiful woman. And all of the lead up to it was about how like these two hot women are fighting. So she shaved her head in rebellion of that because she was like, it's not about my looks. It's about what I put in the Pentagon. No, not the Pentagon. Octagon.
Yeah, I'm glad you fucked that up and not me. That would have been like way more hilarious if I did it because I know so little, but you know so much that was really embarrassing for you. And
yes,
I hope people give you shit for it at Noah Injection.
Brings me satisfaction that Andrew is going to be so jealous that you like we get to, like
I
we
talked
about this.
Sports with you and the Pentagon.
Yeah.
What I want to say about her is I love that she did that in rebellion of like the two hot bodies. Like oiled up and rubbing on it, like because the first thing to do as a woman to go fuck sexuality is to shave your head, like fuck being sexualized because long hair is like men like it. I've never met a man who I forget the guy who said it to me, but it confirmed so much for me. Some guy who's like, you know, I want to say that I care what he thought about women because I probably wanted to be desired by this person, one of those people. But the fact that I can't remember who it was is kind of a shame. But I remember him saying, no girl. Oh, I know who it was. Oh, my God. That's so funny. I'll just say it because, like, I do value his opinion of women and, like, hot women because he's pulled so many hot women. So I always want him to think I'm hot. And I like ask for confirmation in our friendship just because I don't even ask for confirmation. He always gives it to me and it's very nice. But David Spade, I remember him one time saying to me, no girl has ever cut her hair shorter. And a guy has been like, I like that more. Like, let's say above the shoulders, gone from like below the shoulders to above the shoulders. That's what I think he was talking about, not like a trim. And the guy has been like, I like that more. And I'm not going to say no guy, but it's because I know there are exceptions. But when I heard that, I was like, yeah, short hair is kind of a rejection. It's what you do when you get older. You know, you suddenly have soccer mom hair. It goes up because it gets thinner and it's harder to deal with. My hair is so like scraggly at the ends. It's still long, but it's like long hair is a sign of youth. So like it all makes sense. It all checks out. As someone with short hair and extensions, Noah, how do you feel about all this?
Yeah, no, it's the truth. I watched... like a show on the Learning Channel, some
sexuality
science
or like attraction.
Yeah, some show about you know, women's sexuality, and besides symmetry, thick hair is a sign of fertility and all that. So there's some,
it's
like,
all like, can this woman have my son or daughter that will drown in the river because it's not going to help our tribe prosper? Yeah, what?
I want to say I got my hair extensions because I was trying to grow my hair out from getting it ripped in jujitsu because I made the mistake of not covering it.
So a badass reason. But also interesting because you also wanted to you have an upcoming match and you wanted to sexualize it. Isn't that why too?
I want to look hot.
You did a reverse what is her name? Thorn Rose?
Thug Rose.
Thug Rose. Thorn Rose is good too because, you know, they have them. All right, let's get Andrew in here. Where is he? Let's get him in the Pentagon.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hello, Nikki, or should I say Nick?
Why?
I don't know. I thought I'd go shorter.
I thought you were like wanting to announce that I've changed genders, and you were like, you got ahead of my announcement, and I'm like, Andrew, not yet.
To be honest, you know when I like start something and I have nothing?
Yeah.
It was that.
I know. I know. But it sounded like...
For some reason, I thought Nikki was short for something, and then I couldn't think of anything longer.
Nicole is what it's short
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I know.
Like my real name, too. It's insane that you couldn't come up with my real name. Nick. But it did sound like you were trying to like get like you knew that I had just used the monologue up top to announce that I'm transitioning to a man. And you were like, hey, Nikki, or should I say Nick, congrats on the announcement. Like, that's what it sounded like.
It worked out.
Andrew, I didn't tell them yet. That's for Tuesday's show.
Oh, well, okay. I'll take it back. Okay, Nicole.
How are you?
I'm really good. The weather's nice here in St. Louis. Had a nice 2 days with the lady.
Yeah, we saw on Instagram. I wasn't aware of it. And then I had Robin and her husband over yesterday. And they were like, she was like, Andrew is just showing her all over his Instagram. I don't know why I'm talking to like she's like the queen. I can't do her accent at all. Her accent is more like it. Except when she says flawed. Like, he's so flawed. She goes, flawed. And one day she was saying, well, Nikki, he's flawed. He's flawed. And I was like, he's floored? Like, he's, like, astonished? About what? She was like, he's flawed, Nikki. He's flawed because of his mom. I'm like, what happened with his mom? Why is he flawed? So anyway, Robin told me that your Instagram had a lot of your lady on it. So I'm wondering what in your relationship happened for you to take that turn and go like wild on posting and doing it like where you were like tricking the audience into thinking like, I'm going to show her for a second. Now I'm going to show her for a lot. Like, what is the logic behind all of this? Were there discussions of exclusivity?
No discussions. It was
still dodging
just,
that.
Look, it's not dodging it. When two people are hanging out, having as much fun as possible on Lime scooters, the last thing I want to do is go, where are we? What are we? No, we are what we are. We're doing it.
That's
We're
the
fucking...
first thing I want to do.
I know.
I want a little app on my phone that has little places where you can go and have that talk. Like, it's like Lime, but then you activate gazebos where you go in to have that talk. It's called what are we's.
I love you being on the line going, I want to talk though. And you can't hear it because you're scooting 14.8 miles per hour.
Yeah, I love
and
a you're fast just like, scoop on scoot on there.
Oh, yeah. We went through Forest Park.
Yes.
Which actually, the Lime knows to bring down the speed to 9.7, which was
yeah, the Lime knows. You're not going to be going 14 knots <people. laughs> in Forest Park. That is one of the big, that's the biggest, it's bigger than Central Park. For those of you who don't know, we have an amazing park in St. Louis called Forest Park. It was the site of the 1904 World's Fair in which, ice cream was invented or some shit. I don't know, waffles, something big happened. I think ice cream was 1904 World's Fair. Boom.
It was an accident. Some guy was walking with waffle Nikes and stepped on a pancake.
Yeah, it was one of those. No, the ice cream cone. You're right. Because there was a guy with waffles and then a guy with ice cream. And then they rolled it in a cone and then fucking made it. That's what started here. I was going to say 1904 would have been a little too late for ice cream.
The sugar cone. That was a tough day for the sugar cone.
Oh, God, I love the sugar cone. You know, I love when it gets all melty inside the bottom receptacle of the sugar cone. I don't want to crunch on an empty sugar cone. I will be disgusted if my ice cream is so rock solid that by the time I lick it down to the little receptacle, McDonald's soft serve, when you get that thin receptacle, do you know what I'm talking about? The part you hold?
Yes, of course.
If they could sell those...
They do that, well. They sell drumsticks.
Yeah, those,
with the chocolate on the bottom.
But it
like frozen.
I know, but the
so the last
chocolate,
bite is like wild.
I want ice cream. I want that consistency of the crunch of the slight the smooth crunch of a slightly half soaked in sugar cone bottom. Okay, so it's halfway through the crust. If you look, you were looking at like a size or like the Earth's crust. Halfway through, I want that soaked through with ice cream, and the ice cream to be not room temperature yet, but like very, very melty. And if I could package those in that state, whoa.
It's a very hard state. It's a very hard state.
You'd have to keep it in a perfectly, like, you know, 40-degree freezer.
It'd have to be like a Pfizer vaccine. Like, yes. You'd have to keep it at, like, negative 48 exactly.
And you have to eat two of them exactly 3 weeks apart, and then you feel like shit after the second one if you're a little pussy boy. I'm just kidding. Millions of people felt sick after the second one, except me. Mickey Mantle Gene. Shout out to Burt Kreischer-less fans.
Burt Kreischer list.
Listeners and fans.
Wait, what's a woman Mickey Mantle equivalent? Let's get a woman.
Julie
idea
Bowen.
Here.
That's for who's looking young and like getting hotter when you. I like to say I'm Julie Bowening because when I was in my 20s, I was like real, like I didn't have it together. But I think I look more attractive. I'm going to look more attractive into my 40s and then I'll top off somewhere around probably 45.
Who's Julie Bowen?
The mom from Modern Family. Happy Gilmore.
So that's the equivalent of Mickey Mantle for you?
I mean, I just like picked her because she's always my example of someone who doesn't age. That's a better one than J-Lo because she seems to, I mean, I know Julie Bowen's had stuff done, but she seems to, that's in terms of looks. When I'm in terms of physicality and someone just like Joan Rivers.
If Julie Bowen was like an insane alcoholic and still acted and only looked younger, like that was the thing with Mickey Mantle, is he treated his body like a dumpster.
Yeah, but still when incredible. Did he die?
Huh?
When did he die?
He died probably like in his late 60s, about probably 20 years ago.
Okay, so he was a boost. I mean, that was the thing. We were watching the John Daly
documentary. My hero.
And John Daly treated his body like a dumpster. And ate out of dumpsters for a while and was still great. But the thing is, he wasn't. People that think you can be like Doug Stanhope and drink like Doug Stanhope on stage as a comedian and still be great. I was talking to someone yesterday about like people who drink on stage and how when I quit drinking, I now see drinking on stage as such like a sad thing. Like when a male comic goes from the mic to the stool, like they're waiting for an applause break and maybe they get one and they're like, yeah, or a place to pause and they go to the stool and they this is my example. They're just like, yeah, they look so cool. They just hit a punchline. The crowd's going wild. And then they go over the stool and they drink the beer and they're like, oh, they're like chugging the beer as much as they can because they want to get wasted because they're dependent on a drug, which I relate to.
I thought it was just overselling the beer drinking.
Oh my God. Like, they guzzle it because they can't, they're not going to have another time to sip it. And so it just looks like baby need bottle. Like, like it's like suddenly this like hot guy that has like a cool opinion is like sucking on a beer, like a Heineken, like it's his mom's tit. It's just like sad.
whose mom was probably an alcoholic and he could taste what it was coming out of her nipples.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It reminds him of his mom's Zima tits. Wow, that got you.
Bob, we got a name for a show, boys. Old Zima tits.
How did you sleep last night?
Anything before tits is fantastic.
I know.
I love
that's a way to make you laugh. How did you sleep last night?
I slept great. Like, she slept over two nights ago, and yeah, like I was exhausted. A lot of sex.
Right.
Your boy is, you know, we did like an hour and a half session. It was wild.
I mean, I'm so happy for you. It's like the fucking best, dude. I did an hour session, hour and a half probably with myself last night. I'm not even lying. But like it is, it's really, when sex can be that long and you can have that much fun for that long sexually, what a fucking gift. I'm so excited that you are living that life.
Your boy gets tired though. I mean, well, she's a
enjoy
young
it
spry.
While you can. Yeah. Well, then make her do all the work.
No, I want to please her. I give
you
her
can
a
please her once or twice, but you like once it gets to like okay, the third time we're fucking today, just let her get what she wants, and you take a load off.
What she wants is another guy to fuck her better than me.
I mean, that's your fear, I know, but yes, go on.
and truth. I brought out lotion and did like, I was like, welcome to Andrew's spa. And I had her lay down naked and I gave her a full, like I'm talking full massage. And it turned me on. Like a lot of people are like, why would you do that? Like it turned me on so much.
Because you can't fuck her. And so it's like bringing it back to this like time when it's about something other than sex, but you're getting so horny because you're touching your body. So it feels like naughty again, and it feels like I have to resist, and that temptation of like I want to do something but I can't right now, and just getting to like explore her body like not sexually or like that was probably so erotic. That's so
dude,
fun.
It was so erotic to do the leg massage, and then you glaze the graze the pussy.
Yeah,
and you glaze it, but you know
that's later. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, Nick. And no, but you just
it's Nicole to you.
Nicholas. So you graze the pussy and it is so hot to graze a pussy.
I mean, that's the thing I watch in porn so much is like just, or I used to is like the first, and that's the hottest thing in the world is when you're like, they might touch it or something like when you want them to. I want anyone to ever massage me and actually try this, even though it has happened before and it was erotic. And then other times it was fucking horrifying. So, you know, I'm a mixed bag of feelings around it. But I gave a foot massage to my lover and just purely just wanting to make him feel good. And like, and I love feet. Like not sexually, I just like am interested in like pressure points and like bringing, like making a person feel certain things by like being like, oh, like, you know, we love foot massages. They're amazing. So to give one is really exciting. And I gave it to him. And I was also like, my spray tan was drying. I just got a spray tan and I didn't want to have my robe. I wore a robe on, but I was like, oh, I need to take off my top just because I can't have the spray tan getting on this robe. And so I gave him a topless, and I wouldn't even want a bra on because I wasn't trying to have lines there either. So I gave him a topless foot massage and it was so erotic, but it didn't even start that way. But like, it's just such a loving thing that being the receiver of it, you feel like taken care of. And like, cause whenever he would massage me, it's just like, I never had a guy like massage me unless it was like leading to sex, and that like when that's not even the vibe, like we both know it will, but it's not what's happening right now. It's really, really nice to do, and I recommend people do it.
Yeah, it probably didn't help that I tried to get a blowjob while doing it, but no. But
sometimes if that's the role play you're doing, that's great too, man. Dude, I gotta talk about the vibe later this week. I don't want to make this. We have to get to the news. But
can I ask you a question?
My porn habits really went off the fucking rails this weekend in a great way. But yes, go on. What?
When she's like scratching my head and I'm receiving a massage, the whole time I'm feeling guilty that she's doing it. That like, okay, that's enough. Like yeah. You don't have to do it for 20
Thank
minutes.
Thank you for
like,
asking me this. I have like, a lot to say on this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I often felt this way in high school all through now. That's why I always pay for massages, so I don't have to feel the guilt of this person doesn't want to be doing this. They are so bored. This feels so good for me. I can't even enjoy it because they're so annoyed they have to do it, because you know how you feel when you have to give a massage to someone you don't want to give a massage to. But remember, in this case, this is someone that you did enjoy giving a massage to. So maybe come from a place of like, you just enjoyed that, and maybe you could never get her to understand how much you enjoyed it. Maybe she can't get you to understand how much she enjoys it. And also, let her be someone who, if she didn't want to massage you, she would let you know in her own way. My ex-boyfriend who didn't like to massage me, I would ask him for a foot massage and he would just go, okay, we're done. Like he would be done when he didn't want to do it. Mm. If you only want to be with someone who respects what they like doing to a point where they're not going to please you beyond a point where they're miserable. So like, read the body signs of like, you know, when someone starts to tap you and it's done, but definitely let your lover, if you're someone out there that relates to this, your lover or your someone you're having sex
with.
Why
do you keep saying lover? I got
it. Because
stop
I like
here.
It. We talked about the word lover.
It feels like the Will Ferrell skit in the hot tub. A lover.
I know.
That's all
I'm like
I
very
think
into
about.
It. Well, I, as someone who has been in
all
love recently, I like the word lover.
I see you eating hummus in a hot tub. That's what
well,
I see.
Well, that's honestly what it's turned into. But as someone who has recently experienced romantic love for the first time in a deep way, the word lover is not hard for me to say, because it's like how, like, it's just like, oh, that makes sense. Like, they're my lover. And like someone that you love. and that you don't, or it's not just about anything else. Anyway,
sorry.
That, yeah. But what I wanted to say is that when you're getting a massage from your lover or a friend, just let yourself enjoy it. Because what's the fucking point? Let yourself enjoy things, people. That's the thing. We always have so much guilt all the time. If something feels good, try to let it in a little bit before you just start beating, like saying that you shouldn't be getting this. This person giving it to you clearly doesn't want to be doing it. Stop it. Stop projecting. And that's a note from me, too. Let's get to the news. You heard it here first.
Oh, here we go.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hope you're having fun out there, having all the swells, people, even other, you know, everywhere. Okay, so here we go. It was going really well, and then I had to add another thing. Okay, here we go. First Nick. Story, you were, Nick. there's a multi-million-dollar orgasm cult endorsed by Hollywood, who gather at Californian sex communes and have what feels like three-hour orgasms.
Okay.
I mean, this is, I read this whole article. It was a lot.
Really? I didn't read it. What do we got going on there?
Oh, didn't you recommend this one?
Yeah, because I read the headline.
Oh. Nicole Dadone founded a group called One Taste with
Practices. No, don't read it to me. Just, if you read the whole thing, paraphrase the
Dude,
parts that
so
you thought
much.
Were interesting.
Okay. She's,
Noah, you want to help
she's
out?
She's from San
I can help out, Andrew.
I could start, though, and then we could work from there. So she lived in San Francisco. She started like she was like a Buddhist, like monk kind of person. She thought sex should be more of like a
spiritual experience.
Yeah, spiritual and not like it has to be so much so sexual and like let's get over the like dirtiness of it. So she like started this thing where women would just get fingered. She did a thing where and she
my
did this
ex-boyfriend
thing.
Took an OM class and fingered a girl while we were together.
But this is what got her over the hump. A guy put a flashlight on her vagina and described her vagina like, oh, you have a coral kind of vagina. And then he lightly fingered her clitoris. Very, like, gentle. Very
gentle. It does kind of look like and a piece of coral if you, like, splay it out. Okay, go on.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of coral here in the K-Mans. K-Man. Yeah. K-Man.
So essentially like she loved it. So then she spread, she
started
these
centers.
I feel like
this is longer than if I did read the article. Just, Nikki. Can you Blinkist it for me, Noah?
No, I'm doing a great job.
Oh, I believe you.
He's actually doing a very good job.
Okay.
It was a very long article.
I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm sorry I sent an article that was like a book report.
Can you pretend you're fingering me and give me 3 hours to tell the story? So... Can you pretend you're rubbing my coral?
So she
pussy?
Started OM, and then it turned into a new thing where they're all joining together, and a lot of people are joining together, and sex isn't sexual. It's just like, let's have this experience like we're all tripping together for 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's like ayahuasca, but for sex.
Now, the problem is money got involved. She opened up centers, and next thing
and
you
now
know,
it's
women... Yeah, so women are being like sex trafficked and told to fuck these guys so they pay 10 grand a pop to, you know,
and
join the center.
That?
You just
is there a
Venmo
fall enrollment happening now? I think I sent this because I'm just like into that kind of it sounded intriguing to me. I don't want to fuck a bunch of hippies and I don't want to like but I do
would you let them do it on you?
What do you mean? Do OM?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, my ex-boyfriend took this class because I was very turned on by the idea of him like pleasing other women. Like it was just my turn on. And so he found out about OM, which is orgasm meditation. And he went to these classes and women just lay, the guys learn how to finger and the girls learn how to receive it without like guilt or weirdness. And then it's very non-sexual. And then you have an orgasm as a guy gently like flicks your clit, like methodically, like almost scientifically for like 20 minutes. My ex-boyfriend didn't even tell me about it because he wanted to surprise me with it. And then he eventually did. And I was like, so turned on by it, but he was like, it's not as hot as you think. There's like, it's not really like hot. It's literally like, you know, fingering older women or like, it's just like an exchange in a community. Theo Vaughn did it. He would go house to house and do this. So once you learn, you just go around and share this fingering technique that is meditative for you and the woman.
Look, that's how he sold Tupperware.
And then, Anyway, my ex-boyfriend did it to me like a while after he took the class because it was just like not what he thought it was. And it was fine. It was like he had kind of forgotten the technique and I was just trying to connect with him. And it was just like it just didn't do it for me. But I would I wouldn't want to do that because but I would like, you know, to be involved in like a multi-male situation at some point. I've kind of like realized like. Yeah, that's probably, I'd like that to be in my future at some point, which I mean, I know a lot of women can say, but I bet a lot of women do feel.
I mean, I think what I learned the most from the article actually, and what I would learn from OM is I tend to, my patients, maybe my ADD, I'll start soft and then I'll think the girl wants me to get, to rev it up. And I think revving it up isn't the best move all the time. And I think a lot of guys think you got to rev it up because that's what we would want, you know, and to stay soft and have the patience.
Yeah. Make her beg for you to go faster. Let her like direct it because she will like just respond to like what she's doing. But I would agree with that. Stay at the pace you're going. If it's working, don't rev.
But it's so hard to be just a pace car and thinking that you're going to win the race, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, she can tell you when the race is about to be won and then you can sprint ahead. Like, you can work as a team. It's not about you. Like, I hate when guys go like, I got it. And you're like, I'm the one feeling this. And yes, so you don't got it. Next story.
There are 5 things you can do in the morning that can make you happier through the day.
Okay. Okay. Can I guess?
Yes.
Meditate. Eat breakfast. Brush your teeth, make your bed, and write a gratitude list or write a to-do list.
Some of those were right. One
kill
is
a hamster. I don't know. Sacrifice a hamster to the 3 sun gods. Okay.
Okay. Now you're more on track.
If you can't find a hamster, a colony of bees.
Yeah, that's 4.
Yeah. Add to the collapse of humanity so that you feel in control of the things you really have no control over.
Yes. Then make your bed.
Then make your, okay, got it. Okay, so what is it?
All right, 1 is pick a wellness habit. Then link it to the AM ritual you already have, like meditation or exercise.
Boom. Okay.
Get your phone out of the room. When you reach, I was literally reading this in bed right when I woke up on my phone. Get your phone out of your room when you reach for your phone. First thing in the morning, you're really inviting the outside world to dictate your mood. Talk to yourself. If you use your own name and your own self-talk, you're more likely to follow cognitive advice. That's actually pretty smart.
Talk to yourself. Okay, yeah, I talk to myself all the time. I talk to myself all the time now, especially now that I'm alone and you're not like in the vicinity or like might not hear me talk to myself. It's been so good. I go, yesterday my place was a mess and I go, Nikki, look at this place. It is a mess, but aren't you so cute? Like, look at this. This is the mess. This is the like hotel room of an 11-year-old girl. Like, that is so adorable that you still live like a little child sometimes. And like, now you're an adult and let's pick it up. And then I start I'm literally saying this out loud to myself. And then I go, look at this. Like, I just make fun of it and laugh lightheartedly at things about myself instead of being mean. And then I also have, I've started to have conversations with people. And yesterday, actually, I was having a conversation with a man that I want to like tell some things to, but that I can't. And I was like, I want to just do more than this. I was like, oh, I want to write a song maybe and convey my feelings and maybe he'll hear that someday. And then I was like, oh, I'll record a podcast to him that he'll never hear. That'll just be all my thoughts, like very like as if I'm like, and the fact that it was a recording made me feel like it like existed, you know, it was a thing as opposed to just talking to myself. So I recommend people record podcasts to people they want to say things to, because it really felt like I was like talking to him and it got so much of my stuff out. So kind of like, yeah. Do you ever talk to yourself?
It's
in the
like
shower.
A verbal journal, essentially, is what you do.
Verbal Jenner. That's like the Roro Jenner.
Caitlyn
Jenner. 30 Rock. Do you know 30 Rock? When Jenna is in a movie that no one can know. You know Jenna who talks like this on 30 Rock, Jane Krakowski?
No.
You know she's the blonde one who's the star? Yeah. Okay. She's about to make her film debut in a movie called The Rural Juror. And no one knows how to say it. Everyone's like, the rural juror. And she gets interviewed by Barbara Walters, who's played by Rachel Dratch. She's like, I'm here with Jenna Maroney from The Rural Juror. And so whatever I just said was very close to rural journal. What did you say? A verbal journal. I'm in the verbal journal. It's a new off-Broadway.
It also reminds me of attorney blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God. Bob, blah, blah. If you haven't seen Arrested Development, the attorney's name is Bob Lob Law, L-O-B-L-A-W. So he goes, my name's blah, blah, blah. And then he had a law blog, and it was Bob Law Blog's law blog. Bob Law Blog's. It's Bob Law Blog's law blog. I love that shit.
That's so fucking funny, dude. All right.
PJ Novak has a book that is all those things that kids read with their parents, and so the parents sound like they're saying insane things and the kids laugh
really
hard.
A whole book of that? Jesus.
Yeah, a book where the parents, you know, it's like Sofa King. Remember Sofa King? I am Sofa King.
Oh.
You've never seen that? Sofa, the word sofa, oh. And then king. It sounds like you're saying
yeah,
Sofa King.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one.
So it's stuff like that that's like little devices.
I love that book. I got to read that. Okay, make a social contact.
Yeah, for kids. BJ, no.
Make a social contact with somebody you have positive regard for. This can be a text, a call, or meet up for coffee.
Okay, reach out to someone. Make human contact. That makes sense. God, I want to talk more about rituals, but maybe we'll save it for the final thought.
Yeah, we can just get to the fifth one, I guess. Incorporate gratitude.
Yeah. Yes, gratitude.
Journal, essentially. Okay.
No, gratitude. That's the best thing. Just have a friend where you send every day three things you're grateful for, and it can be the dumbest thing. And you will drop off within 4 days of doing this, but then just find another friend to do it. And then you send gratitude lists every day, and it truly helps you be happier. Okay.
Did they fall? Fall off, or they stop talking to you?
No, you just fall off. You kind of don't talk to them again because that's all, like, because you're so ashamed that you didn't send your gratitude list, and they sent one that was... Noah sent the best ones. Noah and I were doing it for a while, and hers would be like just so poetic. They were really good, Noah. Did that make you happier when we were doing that for like, when did we do it? Like maybe less than a week?
I think we did it like twice. I'm so sorry that I fell off.
No, but it's nice to even do once. I mean,
it was very hard.
We don't have to be perfect. If you are like want to be vegan one day of your life, like that's better than no days. And if you want to do a gratitude list with a friend one time that you should do every day, but one time is better than no time.
No doubt.
It definitely made me realize that it's so much easier to complain than to be grateful for things.
Yeah, it really is. So we should start doing
it.
I did a pitch originally that on the podcast we end with gratitude. I was doing that on my old one a little bit, but it's hard to do. Okay, let's get to why do I care? Let's focus on the negatives.
Why do I care?
Oh, man. Why do you care? Glenn Close does the...
Did you watch the Oscars last night?
I saw this live.
Okay, so yeah, Glenn Close did the butt. Is that is that it?
Dance after losing the record eighth. She lost her record eighth Oscar.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
So Little Rel did this thing, Guess That Song. I mean, I told you last night, it felt like Wild and Out. Like there was a DJ...
I know, it's like Questlove was DJing. It was a very like cool event. Like it felt like, it was very, the Oscars were not white last night. They were not white. And I liked that a lot. Like I was like, wow, they only are cutting to people in the audience that are black. They are only playing black artists. They are only having black presenters for like a big part of the show. And I was like, fuck yeah. I mean, like I like that they go, we're not going to try to make it look like we're doing this naturally. We are just all in because we fucked up before and we're going all in. And I liked that. Lil Rel, though, I will say that was a hell gig. That having to like just play the room and talk to celebrities and trust that. I mean, they pointed people out for him to talk to. What's her name was hilarious. Did you see that moment with, I don't even
with
know her
Prince.
Name. Hold on. Oh, yeah, where he goes, yeah, Purple Rain. He's like, is this an Oscar-nominated song, an Oscar-winning song, or was it nominated for an Oscar? And she goes, he hands the microphone to Andra Day, and she, who I don't know what she's from, but she was hilarious. She goes, well, it wasn't nominated because she goes, well, it's a great song. It's one of the best songs, so it probably wasn't even nominated because that's what happens. And he goes, you're right, it wasn't nominated. And she goes, figures. And it was just like so good that she was like, the great things by Black artists don't get, never got acknowledged. So it was probably, it was just such a good burn. I loved it. She said something about like, that's some bullshit. But then, yeah, him going around, it was like, it was not fun. That was a fucking hell gig. And I said that I was grateful on Twitter. I said I was grateful. I did not get asked. Like if they'd asked me to do a gig like that, which I'm close to the point, I would say in a year or so, I'll be at that level where I get asked to do big shit like that. And it's a big opportunity to bomb wildly. And I it sucks because you got to take those gigs, but I'm so glad I haven't been asked to them yet because it's scary. What was that? Sorry, Noah.
What's a hell gig?
A hell gig is just as a stand-up, you get asked to do like an event that it's not conducive to being hilarious. And they don't know that. The people that organized it didn't know it. They don't realize that, you know, comedians notoriously bomb at these shows. I watched Ricky Gervais's Golden Globes from a couple years ago last night. I retweeted it if you want to see it. It's so fucking good. He's a little bit like self-congratulatory of like, oh, fuck it. I'm being totally crazy up here. But the shit he got away with saying, I'm shocked by some of it. And some of it's such good jokes. But the celebrities reacting to them, I said "kuh" probably 22 times watching his 7-minute monologue because they're all scoffing like, oh,
it is kuh. Interesting. Like,
just fucking laugh.
I was watching the Oscars last night or whatever. And part of me, my initial reaction, if I'm going to be completely honest, I was like, what about the sanctimony of the Oscars? Like, remember watching like old Oscar clips and it's like Al Pacino going up there and being like, yeah, yes, I am an actor. And everyone's like, you are an actor. We changed the world through our acting. And it's like this, like, you couldn't even joke or any. It was so serious. But it was but it was the only award show. It was like the last, every award show now.
I get that.
Like, but so at first I was like, well, can't we have one award show that actually is like very like, I don't know, like uptight and like takes itself seriously.
But doesn't everyone know that? Isn't this for me seeing the Golden Globes on Zoom? It just sucks all of the bullshit out of it. All of this is bullshit.
I know, but the like, people like, yeah, it's like the king and queen in England.
You can't go back.
Like,
you can't go back. Okay. Once you've seen that these, like, to me,
I feel
like I've done LSD or something when it comes to like Hollywood, like acting like these motion pictures and that the world of and seeing behind the scenes and seeing how like crew are just doing their fucking job. And yes, it is a passion project. Obviously I'm passionate about my art and comedy and I'm moved deeply by things, but acting like these people are any more important than the person who takes your trash out. And I mean that. The infrastructure that is our waste management should be celebrated in the same way. There's no, it actually should be celebrated more. So the idea that like we have any sort of reverence for artists beyond any other reverence we have for people is so dumb and misplaced by our society. Celebrity is so stupid. I reap the benefits of it. But it is so dumb. And the Oscars is the epitome of it. And it's been dismantled. And I hope they all get knocked off their pedestals. I saw a brilliant tweet on Reddit the other day that was like, wouldn't it be funny if tomorrow we all just agreed to stop caring about celebrities and just like see what happened to them? Like what they would do? Like if we all just like, because that could happen, but it won't because people love the cult of worship and
keep listening to this podcast and follow.
No, this brings you happiness. This is anything but
I'm just
we
kidding.
Are better than you.
But
this is me saying we're not better than you. No one's better than you. And these fucking Oscars where women put on these satin dumb outfits that are a piece of work in and of themselves. And yes, we can celebrate that and say we like the glitz and the glamour of the Oscars. But thinking that this is special, thinking that you need the whole idea of luxury and the fact that you need a separate fork for a different salad, it's all bullshit. You guys, forks work all the same way. Everything that rich people do is so over the top just to remind you that they're rich and that they feel better than you. That little second salad fork, the little fucking anything. It just disgusts me, but it also, I love it. I mean, what? Like, these things feel nice and look nice.
You know, I love that fork analogy. That was really amazing, honestly. I think we should have listeners write in, and we could do like the best garbage man or the best, and have people write in and why they're the best at their job. And we'll have our own little Oscars here of like,
that's a good idea. And it's a guy named Oscar.
Yeah. Oscar the Grouch,
who's in the trash can, yes. But the trash man is taking out, boom. It is the Oscars are just going to be the,
Oscar the Grouch Award.
Yeah. That's going to be the trophy. Okay. Let someone get on that. Noah. Okay. Why do I care? That's why I care. Let's get on to the segment for the day. Listener mail.
My favorite.
I love hearing from our fans. Thank you so much. You know what I want to do is I want to start getting fans to leave voice memos and recordings for us, short recordings, so that we can hear from you and hear your voice and listen to you on air uninterrupted, because we'll just play it and then listen. But let's start out with some emails. Listener mail. Okay, here we go. Andrew's stock. This is regarding Andrew's stock. This is from Gwen. Best friend here, having a great day with all the swells. Oh, good to hear that, Gwen. I just wanted to mention that I can hear in Andrew's voice a definite before after getting some and an after getting some in his voice. His inflection and tone reading the news is totally different. He, like any of us would be, is totally happier in his delivery. I can't be the only listener who notices. Love you all. Your best friend, Gwen. Thanks, best friend, Gwen. Andrew, what do you think?
I guess I have a lot of stock. When I hold up my stock, it gets to the back of my throat. And it causes me not to read as well.
Phlegm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phlegm is also cum, apparently.
Acid reflux is cum reflux. Yeah, you have cum reflux, and then
I had a lot of cum in my esophagus, apparently. And once I got it all out, your boy sure could say big words again.
I think there's something to that. Like, God, maybe it's your stock. I mean, I don't find a difference in my tone after I've like come ascent, like, but if I've been loved up and I'm like in love, I'm like very relaxed. Like, I guess there's no better feeling than that. But is when you're like, is your mood like dictated by like, oh, after you spend a night with your lady who you have a lot of fun with sexually, is your mood the next day like, I like her so much, or is it like I came like relaxed? Like, it's so different for men. And I'm kind of curious.
I guess it's both. I mean, I do feel very happy and giddy today. I don't know if it's because your boy had sex so much or he rode on a Lime scooter when it was 75 degrees and perfect. I mean, I'm sure it all adds up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when she leaves, like, part of me, I do still love my space, you know? I'm not gonna lie. Like, I like laying in bed and being able to, like, there's little things like being on your phone and watching a YouTube as loud as you can about a UFC fight and not thinking like I'm ignoring someone.
Yeah.
But
again, that is up to her to put an end to. You could still do that stuff.
Yes.
Maybe not as loud as you want, because be mindful of someone next to you, but you should be able to watch your phone. Like, that is a thing. Like, when you're with someone, you don't. When I wanted to watch like my videos of like my bedtime videos of like people having their warts dissected from their feet, it's kind of a hard thing to break out in bed next to someone who you're falling asleep with, who you just had like an intimate, lovely evening, and you're like, "Good night, sweetie," and you're like holding his hand while one hand is on your phone, looking up videos of a debridement of a really scabby, like not scabby, but like very callousy wart on a foot. And it's a video that you favorited and watched every night, and it's now losing its luster because there aren't enough wart videos on YouTube. Noah is laughing so hard. Have I come out with my wart obsession on the show yet?
Yes, many times. A couple
I don't
times.
Think I have. No, I haven't.
Yeah,
Noah would know.
No, she definitely
Noah.
Has. But not,
I maybe alluded to it, but
enough.
I haven't. Wait,
not
I have
enough.
To just say, Noah loves it. The first time Noah heard about my wart obsession, so let me just, for our listeners who might be deeply confused, you know how people like pimple popping videos? Well, not your girl Nikki, not Nick. Nick likes videos of plantar warts on the bottoms of people's foot that has like calluses growing over it, like that have hard skin on it. I like them to be scraped out and like carved out. And I actually... If you have a plantar wart, I'm talking to you, best friends, on the bottom of your foot, or Oscar, your boyfriends or something.
Oscar.
What?
Maybe it's Oscar.
What do you mean? It's named Oscar?
No.
The Grouch.
Right. Why would Oscar have it?
He might have a war. I'm just saying we could kill two birds.
What is he even made of in the bottom of him?
Who?
He's in the trash can.
I'm
Oscar.
Talking about an actual guy that takes out the trash. I'm saying the guy that writes in. That's okay. Never mind. Just whatever.
I don't know what you were talking about at all. And I don't know if that's just me. Anyway, if you do have a planner's wart, will you please send me pictures of it? I'm not kidding you. It will make me happy. I know this is gross. I know it doesn't make sense. I don't know why I like it. I don't like pictures of pimples popping or ingrown ingrown hairs being scraped out. People love those things, and there's millions of videos. Go, will you please dissect your wart and put it on YouTube for me, please?
Can I ask a question?
Tag me in it. I'm serious. I will watch it every night. I'll watch it more than I literally watch Veep. Noah's dying laughing. I'm sorry, but this is just true. Please DM me. I'm not even joking. It's not a sexual thing. It just really soothes me. And I want to, and if you would let me, I would like to dissect your wart. If we become friends and I come to your town and you go, Nikki, I'll come over to your hotel room before your show. And you won't be weird with me and it won't be sexual. And I get to like take a razor to your wart. I will bring my own scalpel. I'll BYOB or BYOS. I would be down to meet up with you.
And send me your tits.
And and send Andrew your tits.
So send warts to Nikki, tits to Andrew.
And no tit warts, no warts on any part of your body other than your fingers or your bottom of your feet, because I need to be a very calloused region. I don't want a face wart. That's not what I'm into.
Or a cock wart. You don't want a cock wart.
No. I do not want those.
Cock warts is where Harry Potter, I think. Got.
Yeah, that's where he learned BDSM.
All right, next listener mail. Double-sided card from Amy. You want to read it, Nick?
Yes. All right, to touch on the whole double-sided card with a heartfelt note, this is what I said was a good birthday gift. I found that was until I said the best birthday gift, a picture of a wart. I found a card my dad wrote to my mom before they were married, and it was so sweet. I started reading it, and I was tearing up. Then I kept going. My tears started to turn to horror when he got very detailed about things that turned him on about my mom. And when I say detailed, I mean detailed. I read that letter 5 years ago. To this day, I can't look my parents in the eyes the same way. I said, please tell us what happened. I wrote back to this DM. I said, I'll read it on air if you'll let me. I'll just say Amy. I won't say your full name. He said, she goes, oh, that's fine. He talked about liking her anus hairs and the taste of her. The next time I'm at their house, I'll find it when they're not there and get better lines. It was horrific. I feel nauseated, but it started so sweet and innocent. And I was like, oh, my dad is so sweet. And now I just see a pervert who likes my mom's butthole. Oh, my God. Amy.
There's something about
Amy. That was so much better than I ever could have thought.
I just love the idea of a guy like dipping a feather in ink and then writing anus hairs. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much
my
funnier.
Dearest. Yeah. Juliet.
It's so much funnier. Handwritten naughty letter. It's so much funnier.
Dude, that is what I want. The bar has been raised by Amy's father for a man. I want a man to love my anus hairs. If I can find a man to love my anus hairs, let alone like me watching wart scraping videos next to him as he sleeps. But like if a man can go, I love the hair around your anus and I don't want you to shave it anymore. And even when you do, that's cute too. Whatever you want to do. That's true love. That is true love. That's so sweet.
He's like the fifth and sixth hair. Just speak to me. The seventh and eighth, not so much, but the five and six.
More than that down there. But
I wasn't. That was just getting
started.
I would be
so disgusted. Oh, you were gonna go on for a while. Yeah, we got probably 1,100 down.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I bet there's about 1,100 hairs near your anus. If I found this letter from my dad though to my mom, I would ask for legal separation from my parents and not talk to them again. And I'm not like I could not handle this. I would rather find out my dad had a second family than he enjoyed my mom's anal hairs.
But for you, it'd be the nicest thing a man can do.
But for me, I can't wait for my kids to discover this letter from my future husband.
Wouldn't you feel like your dad is romantic? Wouldn't you think your dad's full of romance if it's something that you would want?
I know, but I can't. That's the
that's the rub.
You know, the not the rub, but it's the paradox of, you know, wanting something and knowing something means true love, and also not being not allowing it to be something that your parents would do. Like when your parents kiss, you're like, ew, but it's like, why don't you want your parents to? I want my parents to fuck. I don't want my dad to write about my mom's anal hairs, but do I? Maybe I do. That's when I'll know I truly love my parents, when I want them to love each other's anal hairs. Final thought for the show. Noah, what did I want to get? Oh, our rituals in the morning. I can I say my morning routine, because it's changed since I was a better person.
Yeah.
I'm not, I used to meditate every day first thing in the morning for years. I would wake up. If I had dogs, I walk my dogs. But actually, usually I'd make them wait and meditate with me. It's only 20 minutes. Go out to my couch or sit up in bed, meditate for 20 minutes, do some TM, and then set my alarm and then get up. Usually brush my teeth before that because my breath stinks. And then I would go not eat breakfast and then head to work, get ready for work, whatever. Now I get out of bed and I instantly eat two bowls of oatmeal. And then I don't meditate, and then I jump into my day. I don't have any self-reflection in the morning. And that's okay. That's the best thing about meditation, is that like the fact that I'm not doing it is okay. And like meditation is so forgiving that even when you're not doing it, it's like part of the practice. I know that sounds crazy, but like just being okay with whatever I can get done in the day that is nurturing. But it's been exactly a year today that I have not skipped a meal, or that I've also not eaten in bed, and that I've eaten at least three meals a day and not eaten in bed, and or eaten in the middle of the night, like gotten up in the middle of the night and eaten. It has been exactly 1 year today that I stopped that behavior. So if anyone out there struggles with that behavior and you want to know how I stopped, you could definitely DM me. But that, because I've learned to just take care of myself in that way, like I don't get to skip breakfast anymore, which is everyone's favorite thing to do. That is more important to me than meditation. And hopefully I can add meditation in afterwards to like digest, but it's just hard to, it's hard to sit down and meditate. I get it now when people used to say it. It didn't used to be hard. It was just my habit. Do you have any habits in the morning, Andrew? You don't even brush your teeth in the morning most times.
That's not true.
I want to know if you brush your teeth at night. I did wonder that for a while.
Sometimes. I mean, I'm not.
Give me a percentage of when you brush your teeth at night.
Well, first of all, 12 hours ago, I had a California roll in bed. So we could start there. Dipped in soy sauce. And I'm a big soy sauce on the sheets guy. It's very tough to keep soy off the sheets.
That's a great lyric, yeah.
So, I brush my teeth in the shower. So if I shower at night, your boy's brushing.
But you don't do it before you go to bed if you don't shower. Because you don't shower before bed.
A lot of times
ever,
I do.
Andrew.
I do a lot. Mm. You don't know what I'm doing in there.
But you got to admit, like, I'm not trying to admonish you, but I really do think your oral hygiene is important. You don't floss. I do know that.
That's not true. I've given you floss sticks.
But you just chew on the plastic. You don't actually
They're
use
delicious.
The floss. I know. You use them to chew on.
That
you don't
helps.
Use them to actually floss.
That helps. I'm sure some floss gets in there when you're chewing on them.
That's true.
No, I like picking. I pick and I do. I'm not.
That's good.
I'm not a habitual flosser. No, you're right.
But are you? Can I just ask you to be completely honest here?
I'm trying to be, but I feel like.
What percent? I won't attack you. I promise I won't. I will not. And I just want you to have a better oral hygiene. I want you to get honest with yourself. How often, because this is true, like death creeps in through the gums, people. That's how people die, is they get diseases. And so many diseases aren't that we can't even trace to the gums are going to be later on in life, you're going to learn, is gum related. So how often are you brushing your teeth? Twice a day? What percentage of days of do you get in the morning and night?
I would say 25%.
And then what percentage of times do you go to bed and you haven't brushed your teeth within 8 hours?
I mean, I guess that number would be kind of similar, no?
No. I mean, like two times a day could be any, I don't know when you might have bad breath. And so you
I don't brush enough before I go to bed. I'll tell you.
You got to brush before you go to bed.
All right.
Try to make it 100%.
And then in the morning, my
tell me what to do.
My morning routine is I watch probably 28 TikToks in bed. Still half
I'd like
asleep.
To really see what that number is.
It might be 58.
You know what I mean? Like people think that your TikToks is like 28. I would love to hear what people think, how many they watch and how many they do. That's interesting. That's a good study.
You know what honestly though, like all joking aside, like sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be so sad and depressed and hate myself so much. And so much of that goes away just naturally within like 10 minutes of that thought.
Wait, so that's when you get depressed? Is it like right in the morning when you woke up because you feel like you ate too much the night before?
I don't.
Is that it?
No, it's not really just deeper.
What is it?
It's just
what's
like
it related
it's
to?
Deeper. I don't. It's not like a specific thing, but it always goes away once I shower and like. So what I've noticed is like take that thought, but don't beat yourself up more than it's already beating you up because you will feel better in 10 minutes from then. If you check in on the see how the Beckham family is doing, you know,
don't take that. And I've been doing this too recently with thoughts because everyone has to remember that your feelings, you know, your mood, your bad mood, your whatever, it's all based on your thoughts. So like I had something this weekend happen to me that was like a really like I was shaken by something that happened to me. And I had this whole night of plans and I was like, all of a sudden consumed with thoughts about this thing that, oh my God, I've done something wrong. I have to address it, all this stuff. And then I was like, wait, all those things are thoughts. All the things that are flooding through my mind are literally my like thoughts that I'm having, which is like, my life has changed now. I have to make a decision. This could happen. This could happen. Oh my God, what if he does this? What if she does that? What if like all these thoughts? And I go, nothing actually has changed. Like, a text was sent to me that alarmed me, but nothing in my life has changed. I'm still getting ready for this dinner I'm going to. There's still going to be a live band there. There's still people on this island that I want to meet. So I was like, you know what? I can deal with these thoughts. I can just dodge under like waves in the ocean so I can get out to the calm waters. And these thoughts will, I can, they'll be back if they're important enough, but nothing is actually pressing enough for me to ruin my night and be in a bad mood all night because of this thing that just came out of nowhere. And so I dodged those thoughts because they didn't need to be addressed. And I had a great night and I dressed in geek chic because every party on the island is a theme party. And I went to our friend Michael, Robin couldn't go because she was sick, but I went to Michael's like this fundraiser for his work with people from his work. I sat at a table of all lawyers. I danced to a live band without a mask on with other people and like had, you know, close conversations at a table without a mask on. And I was able to enjoy this place I'm living in without staying home. And literally most people, I have to say most people, given my circumstance of what happened to me on the news I got on Saturday and Friday, would have curled up on the couch in a ball and cried all weekend. But I did not do that because I acknowledged that my life is not different because of what these people might think of me, their thoughts, or even my thoughts about their thoughts. And I'm still fighting it every moment of my waking life that the thoughts come in, but you can dodge those thoughts, people. Whatever is going on in your life that is like this to you today, that's like, my son needs that thing done for school on Friday, or my husband isn't talking to me, like your life.
Or my dad loves my mom's anus hairs.
My dad loves my mom's anus hairs. Like those things, if you didn't know about the dad's mom's anus hairs, what would your life be? Imagine that, because you really can't do anything about the mom's dad's anus hairs. It happened and like you have no control. Easier said than done with problems that are beyond mom's anus hairs or just getting a text from someone that you didn't want to get a text from. But I got to go. And that's my statement of the day. Thank you for listening. We'll be here tomorrow. Andrew, great show. Noah, great show. Besties, great show. And yeah, see you tomorrow. Okay.
I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.